Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Culture Shock Entertainment Report. It is Travel Tuesday. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True, and Cousin Linda is with us. And also, I believe Pastor John CEO Jr. is going to call in right at 4 o'clock. He asked for the link to this show so he could send it out to his listeners and his podcast and his group. But thank you for tuning in. It's Travel Thursday. And we will discuss, which is something that Cousin Linda and I mention often, hot packing. What are the requirements? What are the proper ways to pack? I had sent her a video last week of this really cool video, which we all, you know, when you roll your clothes up properly and neatly so they won't wrinkle. And that was something I learned in my teenage years. From one of my best friends when we would be traveling often. And we're going to discuss the packing tips. And if you would like to share any of your packing tips, luggage tips, or where do you find the best luggage? I'm luggage shopping. My luggage is needs to be updated. so that's what we're talking about in Hot Topics. Thank you all for tuning in on yesterday. And, you know, you never know who's listening to the show because it seemed like the show was being listened to because I did not watch the debate. I did not eat popcorn and watch the debate. I tell the truth, honest truth. But I watched it afterwards later on. I had to lay down and rest and go to sleep and was watching Abbott Elementary and keeping up with things. But I, you know, watched the highlights and watched it later on in the night. But I'm so glad the focus was not strictly on Trump. I'm looking forward to seeing the Democratic debate also. And on next Wednesday, we'll talk also about the candidates on both sides and those that are running in third party. So, you know, just go through a rundown list of who's running, what's their platforms, and what are their agendas. So that's what we want to know. It's common sense info. What's your platform? What's your agenda? We don't need to hear all this finger pointing and Trump this and Biden that, and, you know, on both sides. We just, on both sides and in the middle, we just need to know what's your platform, what's your agenda, how do you and your team plan to help solve some of America's problems and some of the world's problems. That's basically what we want to know. 1, 2, 3, ABC. It's not that complicated, honestly, and we can make competent decisions based on the how competent the presidential candidates and candidates on all levels. But we're talking about the presidential candidates. Provide us with competent information, and we can make competent decisions regarding who we need and who we want And that's on both sides, and again in the middle. really, who's going to work with the people? Basically, you know, who's going to put the people first? And like Cousin Linda mentioned often, you know, who's not going to get, you know, and go with the special interest? Who's for everybody? I wonder, does that even exist? If anybody is for everybody? That's how it's supposed to be. But it's Travel Thursday, so let me provide you the email address, kulturesokent_beth@yahoo.com, kulturesokent_beth@yahoo.com, kulturesokent_beth@yahoo.com. Those that would like to bless us with financial donations as we continue to upgrade the podcast, $ BETHBTRUKULTURESHOK, BETHBTRUKULTURESHOK, BETHBTRUKULTURESHOK. So that's the Cash App also. So again, we thank you all for tuning in. Big shout out to the top 8 countries. Of course, our native U.S., Turkey, Finland, Canada, Bangladesh, Brazil, Romania, and China, and Big D, Jacktown, Big Apple, New York, Minneapolis. I believe Paisley Park is always celebrating, so big shout out to Paisley Park. Big shout out to the East Coast and West Coast. We're sending out prayers. We thank you for your prayers and your positive vibes. I definitely, Cousin Linda and I both definitely appreciate your prayers. And we pray for our listening community, our family, our co-producers. Thank you for your prayers and your big love also. So thank you. I can't thank you enough. I just wanted to get all of that out of the way. Just a big shout out to friends near and far. Friends offline, friends on social media, the BTR community, the owners and management, and fellow podcasters like Pastor Dunn, CEO, and those that chat in the chat room. Thank you. Call us more. If you have any travel tips, please call us. And tomorrow it's Foodie and Fun Friday. And, of course, we're going to talk about fun things. And we're going to talk about foodie things and share some of our favorite recipes. I hope Cousin Linda reshares that potato salad recipe. But we'll share some recipes also on tomorrow. And Cousin Linda got a response from that restaurant, the story that she shared with us. So I don't know if she's going to share it today or she's going to save it for tomorrow. but let's get with it, and thank you all. Enjoy the show and interact with us.
It's your birthday. Happy birthday. It's your birthday.
Happy birthday, August babies. A lot of birthdays today because I had to send out a lot of birthdays. We had prayer partners, a couple that had birthdays today or yesterday. So happy birthday, fellow August babies, Leos and Virgos. Big shout out to one of my friends, John Calhoun. Cousin Linda might know him. He's a businessman based here in Jackson. He's in Ghana. He loves Ghana like my late brother-in-law, her late cousin-in-law. He's in Ghana, so I reshared on my Facebook page his post of having fun in Ghana on his birthday. Cousin Linda and I would love to be anywhere, anywhere, Ghana, Mykonos, UK, anywhere we would love to be. But we're here with you, and we're happy. So let's get the show started. Hello, Cousin Linda. Hello, darling.
Hello, darling, Cousin Bethany and listeners. I hope everyone's doing fine.
Yes. Pretty good.
Wonderful.
So how have
wonderful.
You been? How have you been? We missed you on yesterday. I'm feeling relaxed.
Yes.
I just took a bath. Cause it is still hot. It's still hot in Dallas. I know it is.
I'm sure it is. I've been in all day. You know, I only go out if I have to.
Right.
And I didn't have to go out today, and so I'm not. But I tell you, it was hot yesterday where I subbed the school. Of course, the parking lots don't have any type of covered parking. And
my
steering wheel, yeah, and the gear shift were extremely hot, very, very hot. Yeah, that's one good thing about not working is I get to keep my car covered under the covered parking. But yesterday I was thinking I wasn't going to enjoy that school, but it was very nice, very, very nice. I wish I had taken
that. I would enjoy that assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. What did you like about it? Did you like the students and everything, the atmosphere?
Well, the students, they were not like some of the students at some of the schools that I've gone to. You know, I did hear some profanity. And they were supposed to turn their telephones in. And, of course, you'll have students saying, I don't have my phone. It got taken away or I left it at home. And once you take up the phone, then you look and see that person lied and they pull out their phone. And I was like, I just don't even feel like being bothered. The girl knew she lied. She didn't turn her phone in. I'm not going to even be bothered with this. And for some reason, some of the students like to stretch out on the floor and go to sleep. And,
oh, my God.
Yeah, I used to try to talk to them about how unsanitary it is sleeping on the floor. But I'm like, they know better. They're going to do what they want to do. I'm a substitute teacher. I can't force them to do anything. And this particular school does not have security or personnel from the school to come around and force the students
right.
to do anything. Yeah.
And I don't blame you about that phone. That was a crazy story a few months ago about a phone. Girl and teacher got in a fight over a dang phone.
Oh, yeah. They want to kill you about a phone, honey. So unless there is, if I know that there is some strong backup that will come in and defend me if I try to enforce telephone rules and regulations.
Right.
The lady that's over the subs told me that the students are going to have lockers and they're going to have, I guess, padlocks on the lockers. And once all of that is in place, they will definitely have to put their phones in their lockers during the school day.
Wow.
See myself
I know when I worked at Choctaw Casino in Durant, it was mandatory. So if we have to do it at some job, definitely. Young children should, I mean, young children, their parents should be able to understand that.
It's the parents who want the children to have these phones. This business about, I want to be able to reach my child in case something happens. Well, in case something happens, in my opinion, that's what the administrative office is for. When I was in school,
right.
cell phones had been
And when you go to your locker during break,
they don't have time to do that because they're changing class and they have time to go to their. But when we were in school, if somebody needed to reach you for whatever, emergency or whatever, they called the office.
Right.
The office had the principal or somebody get on the intercom because the classrooms had intercom accessibility and just say, send John Doe to the office or whatever. And then when you get to the office, you find out what's going on. But I know,
and these,
you know,
parents, if they're our age or millennials in their 20s and 30s, they were not raised on their phones in school. You know, this just started happening in the past 15 years.
Well, I don't know, because back, you remember when pagers got popular? I remember I worked with the.
I had to have my pink pager. Yeah, I had my, what was it? What's the bright colors? What's those bright colors called? Neon?
I don't know.
I had to have my pager, yeah.
In school?
No, not in school.
Oh, okay. I couldn't understand.
Not in school.
I couldn't understand why parents felt their children had to have pagers in school. I'm saying if you page them, they don't have access to a phone, so what good is that doing?
Right.
But a lot of this stuff is the parents. They're the ones that's fighting for the children to keep their cell phones.
Well, you know,
and
what? I'm baffled from that, because those parents from millennials, from 20s and 30s to our ages, we weren't raised that way. So that's why I don't understand it. And I know some of you probably saying, because you're not a parent. But we both love children and educate children. And I helped my mother with her daycare from the 80s to 2005. So Cousin Linda and I, we know a lot about children. It takes a village to raise children, for those of you that have something to say that we aren't parents. So I'm just baffled that by being raised without that luxury, or with, at least with parents that were strict. Most of us had strict parents. Even the laid-back parents were like, don't get on. I mean, how dare you? That's disrespectful to be on your phone, you know? Mm-hmm. Even when I was in school in Dallas at Oval, my institution teacher, she used to get on me about the phone. But it is disrespectful. If you're on the phone, it should be for your lesson, for your work. It shouldn't be for anything else.
And these parents
should be ashamed of themselves.
In some classes, they do use phones for school work.
Right.
I don't know why. Just use their Chromebooks rather than the phone. And some students don't speak English, so they use the phone as a translator. Okay, I understand that. But to me,
that's my neighbors and I. We have our phone to translate what we're saying.
I think that they should put those children in a class separately from English-speaking children. If you only speak XYZ language, then we should have a class and a teacher for you in XYZ. Because I don't know, that just feels...
Do you have any of those students? Do you have some of those students?
Yeah, a lot of them. A lot of them. Don't English, and they have their phones to do the translating. I'm just not for this all inclusivity. You got this mishmash of people in a class, and to me it makes it more difficult for the teacher. She's got to teach, and I'm not being ugly, but you have students with disabilities, mental, physical, or whatever language, and you have students who just want to disrupt class. And to me, it just puts extra work on a teacher for trying to teach all of those students. If you don't want to be at school, I guess there are truancy laws or whatever, but I don't see why the school has to tolerate you. If you don't want to be there, and a lot of students at one of the schools where I was subbing said, hell no, they want to be there. They had to. They had judgments against them or something where they had to come to school. I guess maybe an age factor or something that says children have to come to school. But these students were very disruptive. Some of them were violent. Some of them would want to attack the assistant principal. And some of them, they had police on them. Yeah. And they had to have the DEA send out representatives to do drug searches. this is all foreign to me because I didn't go through anything like that in school. But
right.
It seems that
and especially in Texas, I thought teachers were, for the non-English speaking kids, I thought bilingual teachers taught them. Wow, so I learned something new.
They may, but in some of the classes where I subbed, there were students in there who don't speak English, and they have to have their phone translate everything. And
I agree with you
because
I thought bilingual teachers taught them. Wow.
That's what I thought, too. And why don't they speak English? How do you have somebody in the 9th through 12th grade who doesn't speak English? By now, you should be speaking English.
Right.
Now, if you're a second or third grader, maybe you don't speak English. But when you are 12th grade and you've been in this country all this time, or you were, born in this country, why don't you speak English? If you're going to a public school. But back on the pagers, parents bought pagers for their children. Because like I was saying, the place where I was working, my coworker's first grader had a pager. But she couldn't explain to me why her child had a pager. That doesn't make sense to me.
I was in my early 20s when I had my pager, like in the early 90s. Wow. But you sure right, little kids are walking around with pagers.
Yeah, a lot of times parents do things to feel good about themselves. It's not so much the child. Parents want to say,
it's more
well,
of a
my
fashion
child
statement.
Is, yeah, right. My child wears
a status symbol.
Definitely status symbol. My child wears Air Jordans. My child has an iPhone 14, top of the line. My child has this. And I saw that some schools where children were just heavily laden in gold jewelry. And I couldn't understand that one either. You got little...
Especially that, the way people jack you with stuff. Woo.
Yeah. And a lot of children had 3 and 4 gold necklaces, gold bracelets, and, high school children as well. But I just some things to me that I don't understand when you're coming to school. I thought school was a place to come learn and to finally get your diploma after you graduate 12th grade. But it seems to me that people are for different reasons.
That's why I'm baffled about the parents, because that's distracting. Why would you want to distract your child and you would want them to make good grades? That's why I'm so baffled on that.
I don't understand it, because they know that their children are using phones during class because it's been reported to them. Some schools will take up the children's phone, and the only way they'll return it is if the parent pays a cash fee to get that phone back. And parents don't have that $15 or $20 or whatever to get the phone back. But you know that your child is addicted to a phone, and in my opinion, you should want the child to go to school to learn. Not be on TikTok and all these other apps and social media. And then all this stuff about we're going to ban this class, we're going to ban this subject. Well, your child has a cell phone and they just go on the cell phones or their computers or whatever and learn everything they want to learn that way. So I don't know why they're banning stuff in school, because children still have access to it. It's not like you've got a set of impedias at school and they're locked up in the school. This information is available 24/7, right there in the palm of their hands. So, to me, all this stuff has just run amok. It's not making sense.
Wow. Whoa. So you were in Northeast Dallas yesterday.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Wow. And then you'll be in North Dallas near Ardelia tomorrow.
Back to the same school tomorrow.
Oh, good. Good. Mm-hmm. I that's what I had hoped. Sound like you would like to return. Oh, I thought you had gone today. I was like, they must have loved her so much they called her back today too.
Oh, no. Mm-mm. No, I think since, the school season is really just getting in full swing, and they're probably just needing somebody to help in the classroom while they get everything organized.
Wow. So it is Travel Thursday. Did you want to say anything else about your experience at the school? Well, Friday should be very interesting.
No, we can go on and commence with the travel part of the show.
Okay. You often talk about the packing and the requirements. And I know I do need to practice traveling lighter, and especially with the stories you've told me regarding international travel. When you start back traveling international and I start back traveling nationally, and we both travel together internationally. So I know that there's, we have to travel. It's important for us to travel light and prepare for whatever we bring back. And that's even if you're on staycation. It's important to be mindful of how we pack. So what are some of your suggestions and tips regarding packing if it's just for like a weekend? And you have even talked about long trips where you had to travel light. And you mentioned Michael Payne. He believed in traveling light even for long trips.
Mhm. I think traveling, or I mean packing light for traveling, is the way to go. Leave the suitcase at home unless you're going somewhere that requires certain type of apparel, like you may be going to some event where you're going to have to wear formals, or men may have to wear coats and ties. Long time ago on cruise ships, men had to wear a coat and tie for dinner. I never understood that, but they did. And women had to wear nice clothes, you know, a pantsuit or a very nice dress or something for dinner. So you had to, if you were going to be gone more than 2 or 3 days on your cruise, you had to pack several pieces of nice clothes. But now, like if you're going to, most of your time is going to be spent at the beach or in bars and casual restaurants, just take some, if it's going to be in the summertime or you're traveling somewhere where it's warm, pack maybe some light dresses made out of flowing fabric or gauze fabric or whatever, something that's not going to wrinkle. Definitely shorts and nice tops. I wouldn't recommend T-shirts because they need to be ironed.
Right.
You might just want to pick up a T-shirt or two when you arrive at your destination. I always pack a ton of underwear, and that's very light.
Yeah.
And not going to take up any space or anything. But I'm just for now, those little suitcases that you can carry on, use as carry-on luggage, because a lot of them will hold quite a bit. Or a nice big duffel bag that's going to hold all of your stuff. Yeah, just pack light, even in the wintertime. Like I said, Michael Payne, when we used to go to Paris, he packed 2 pairs of jeans and 3 sweaters. And he wore a leather jacket. Now, he made sure he had, like,
leather jacket probably was good for the upscale restaurants. That leather jacket was probably, like, his formal when you all went to, like, a very upscale restaurant.
Well, we didn't actually go to any restaurants that had dress requirements. Even the nice restaurants, you could wear nice casual clothes. And, I mean, you know, when I said jeans, they weren't tacky jeans or anything like that, because he believed in name brand things. Yeah, designer jeans or whatever. And nice turtleneck sweaters. And he wore like a knit beanie to keep his head warm and turtleneck sweaters. And underneath that sweater, I think he had an undershirt and like a long T-shirt, the leather jacket, and definitely a scarf to wrap around your neck.
Yeah.
And you don't want to just be out in the cold forever. And if it gets too cold, you can always duck inside a building or something. But I, on the other hand, was packing all kind of stuff. It was just a habit. And but I've learned now, pack lightly, because the airlines will lose your luggage or it gets delayed.
Well,
and it's
I've experienced that just in my in-state, in my in America travel. Like, okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, and if you have medications that you need, make sure that you have your medication, and you might want to take a prescription with you in case you lose your medication. And I like to pack cotton balls, a lot of things that you used to get as amenities in hotels. Some of your moderate price and lower price hotels and motels don't have amenities like they used to. Because I was staying in some hotels.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I was just looking at an article as you were talking that mentioned that we'll never go back to pre-COVID days when it comes to airlines and hotels. That they're going to stay, you know, at the reduced level of doing things.
Yeah, they've gotten chintzy. They raised the prices of the hotel rooms. They have started charging you to park on their parking lots, which I just find terrible. As I was saying, they don't furnish amenities, because I remember when I first started traveling, hotels had toothpaste, mouthwash, shampoo, little individual shampoos, hair conditioner, lotion, Kleenex, Q-tip. And all kinds of stuff. And I was staying at some hotel that was a high chain. I don't want to say the name because I don't remember.
I've been dated hotels where they you know, the robes and everything. You're like, okay. Right.
Yeah. But this particular hotel did not have toothpaste, a toothbrush, or mouthwash. And I don't know why I called it. For that, because I always make sure that I carry those items. But I did. I probably was just wanting to know, did the maid forget to leave those items in my room? But I was told, well, we no longer furnish that. And I was quite surprised. But unless you are traveling internationally, because international hotels, last time I was in an international hotel, they pretty much had amenities. And certain international carriers, even though I flew coach or economy, they passed out amenities, or they were available just for asking, like toothpaste, toothbrush, combs, and mirrors, just all kinds of little things. And this was in economy. But this was on the Singapore Airlines. I flew economy twice going to Asia on Singapore Airlines. And I tell you, flying economy on Singapore Airlines was like flying first class. I flew economy on Varig Brazilian Airlines. Felt like I was flying in first class. Because the service was so good. And the amenities. Now, I flew internationally on Cathay Pacific, because I don't think they fly domestically in the United States. Cathay Pacific, not one of my favorite airlines. I felt like I was on the Greyhound bus. But what I liked about them was everything was available all the time. I'm accustomed to flying when they bring the meal, it's during meal time. Cathay Pacific, I saw all these people on there. They just pressed that little button for the flight attendant. Can you bring me a sandwich and a Coke, please? And I'm thinking, we've already had our meals. Yeah, I'm like, we've already had our meals, but on Cathay Pacific, whatever you wanted, whenever, the flight attendant would bring it. And they had passengers from first class who knew passengers in economy, and they came back and were just having like a great old time, like some kind of party or something. At first, it was really getting on my nerves. But after I saw, like, everybody's having a good time back here, let me get in on it. I started buzzing the flight attendant, can you bring me this? Can you bring me that? But it was just like, I'm accustomed to sitting on an airline, on a plane, staying in my seat, unless I would get up and walk around, you know, on some of those extremely long flights I'd get up to keep circulation or whatever. But Cathay Pacific, it was like, you know, just one big party.
Wow.
Mhm. They had amenities and everything.
Right. When you were speaking earlier, that's true. What I was reading too, along with packing luggage, surcharges on the planes and at the hotels, and also where housekeeping does less work now than before COVID, and they said it's going to probably stay that way. So for us just to get used to it. And,
Back in the day, the hotels used to change your linen every day. They changed your sheets every day.
And that's what I love about hotels.
That fresh linen.
Right.
But now they will change your bed. Like if you're there a week, it's like we change linen every 3 days. And please reuse your towel to save on water. Look, I'm not here to save your water and nothing else. I'm paying a pretty penny to have these services. So if you can't afford your water bill, you might need to go out of business or something. I do not reuse towels at home, and I don't expect to be using them over and over again in a hotel. No. I'm going to hang them up to dry. No, No. And then I have to ask for toilet paper. Used to be just endless rolls of toilet paper because that was to keep the maid from having
everywhere.
To come in. And you get a roll. It's already a roll that's used almost down to the end. And then they may put, and these are small rolls of toilet paper, and then they may have one little extra one in there. And if you're going to be there 4 or 5 days, I think you should have at least 8 or 9 rolls of toilet paper.
Right. Because some, if you open the one of the cabinets, you find more. Like you were saying, you find a stockpile of toilet paper.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that would happen to you internationally.
Yeah, they used to put extra towels in the room as well, but I can tell you some top name brand hotels where I had to almost beg for towels. One of them is the Royal Sonesta in New Orleans. I had to constantly beg, please, can I have some more towels? Can I have some toilet paper? You know, I would leave and go doing my tourist thing because it was during Mardi Gras, and I'd be out doing my little touristy stuff with my friends. I come back to my room, bed ain't made, no toilet paper, no extra towels, and I just happened to catch the lady who was over housekeeping in the hall one day when I was leaving, and she said she'd make sure that I had, you know, plenty of towels and toilet paper.
Right.
Other than that, calling the front desk and going to the front desk, that wasn't working. And the rate I was paying, especially during Mardi Gras, was not cheap.
Right, especially during Mardi Gras. Right. Wow.
But it kind of just takes the fun traveling to me. Right now it seems more like a chore than fun because they want to nickel and dime you for everything. And these airlines ought to be ashamed charging for luggage, charging where you, if you select.
That's what this article that I had looked at, I have to share it next time if I don't,
yeah,
this time. But
extra.
That's what this article is talking about, the surcharges. It says airlines are getting worse than hotels.
I know
Kelly and her husband Mark talk about that on Live with Kelly and Mark. They talk about that too, those hidden charges at the airlines and at the airport.
Well, they're not hidden when you make your reservation.
Yeah, they're not
really
hidden. The article saying hidden, that's what I was saying to myself. They're not hidden. They just
hidden.
And I haven't been traveling a lot and haven't been on a plane in a while. But what I know is that they're in our face. They let us know.
Yeah, when they started charging for food, I was taken aback because when I started traveling, we had dishes and we had real silverware or stainless steel or whatever.
Right.
Cups
and that's what they're talking about too, that room service has lessened and don't expect it to get back to like full service, room service. And I'm a person who loves room service and I love for my amenities to be packed when I'm in a room. I like my fridge to be packed. Right.
Yeah. But back on these charges, I can't believe you have to pay to select a seat. That is horrible.
Wow.
Horrible. And then on the international carriers, I was amazed that you got a full can. You know, if you wanted a soft drink, they gave you the entire can as opposed to domestic carriers would pour you some little soft drink over ice in a little plastic cup.
Right.
I got spoiled flying internationally. I really did. And like I said, I was not a big fan of Cathay Pacific. But Cathay Pacific, it just came through. I had never.
They got it in the customer service department, huh?
I've never been even top of the line airlines. You don't just call the flight attendant at your whim and say, bring me a sandwich and a soft drink.
That's my kind of airline. That's my kind of service.
I'm telling you.
Because I'm that kind of person.
This was a 14-hour flight. We were flying from Los Angeles to Hong Kong. And, I mean, these people were just, I want this. And the flight attendants just smiling and accommodating them. And I said, well, what am I complaining about? Let me join in. You can't beat them, join them.
Why are you talking about why they getting this? Let me get some of this.
Yeah, and they were all in their carry-on luggage pulling out stuff. And these folks were having a wonderful time. And so I'm like, okay.
That's their edge over other airlines to the most prominent airlines.
I think it's a custom thing. I'm not sure because that's an Asian carrier. I think it's one of Hong Kong's carriers. At the time, I think it was owned by Hong Kong or something. I don't know.
Right.
So that might have just been the way they operated their airline because that was the only one.
Right.
Because I've flown several Asian carriers like Thai Airways, Korean Airways, Singapore Airlines, Cathay Pacific, and maybe another one I can't think. But I noticed the movies were free. There was no charge. Headphones were free. Things that domestic carriers made us pay for. But international carriers, all that was included with the price of your ticket. And you chose your seat. And you got your free food. And it was served, you know, like being in a restaurant. napkins, real linen. I don't know if they were linen, but they sure felt like linen napkins.
Ooh, yeah.
And you got you got maybe an aperitif or whatever they call them, and after dinner coffee or espresso. And I don't know. I think you may have had to pay for a brandy, because I remember I used to like to get brandy in my coffee on those extremely long flights I wanted to sleep. But domestic care, I mean, you know, like, I'm just going to call some names, American and Delta. No comparison to the international carriers.
Wow.
So I would recommend, if you're traveling internationally, try to get on an international carrier and see if you don't notice some kind of difference.
And luggage requirements, everything was cool with luggage and everything?
Oh, yeah. You know, if you went over your however many kilos, you'd have to pay, but they allowed you a lot. I don't know the metric system, but I know I used to have some heavy, heavy luggage, and especially when I was coming back from Asia, because I had bought up a ton of stuff. But now I'm kind of afraid to take a suitcase to the airport, unless it's on some nice international carrier, because the domestic carriers want to charge everything. They probably don't want your suitcase to weigh over 3 pounds.
And back to what you were saying, too, lost luggage, because all the, ooh, these stories recently, you see the traveler's one place and the luggage is somewhere else. Like, oh, you just see, like, you see rolls of luggage on these recent news stories this past year, from holiday to the summer, rolls of luggage and no passengers. Like, wow.
Yeah, I was going to say, do you remember when Southwest Airlines had those people's luggage at the airport for about 7 days? And people didn't have any clue as to where their luggage was.
Right.
But they are like, to get away with these inconveniences. And I don't know why our government doesn't do anything about it. The airlines just seem to, you know, just take license with, we're going to give lousy service and nothing's going to happen. So right now, I would love to be doing some kind of travel overseas. But I certainly would prefer to travel on an international carrier to a cool climate. I don't know where there is one right now. It's summertime, and even in South America, even though it's winter technically down there, they're having heat problems. So I guess unless we go to the North or South Pole, it's going to be hot no matter where you go.
Yeah, right. Look like Mykonos have nice weather where Salt Bay is. He's been the whole summer at his location there. Look, because I noticed they wear jackets and like in the morning and late at night. And it's the sun. The sun is out, but it seemed like the days aren't that hot. They're hot, look like, but it looks like in the 80s or something like that. It doesn't look like it's very hot.
Well, you don't consider 80 very hot?
Well, you know I love summer. And now with these 100, nearly 120 degrees, 80 is nice. 80 is like the new 40 now.
Okay.
But that looks like comfortable beach weather, but I think other beaches are very hot.
Yes.
That was funny when you mentioned that you didn't want to go to a beach. I said, well, we need to be in Mykonos. And then you said, yeah, we could do that. That's in Europe. That was funny. Because you were like, I don't want to go near a beach. And then when I mentioned Mykonos, you go, oh, that's in Europe, though. That's a big difference.
I don't have to go to the beach just because I'm in Mykonos. You don't have to go to the beach. And the way some of those buildings are built, they have cool breezes that come through.
Right.
It's a different kind of heat. But
that's
some
what I noticed. It's like,
yeah.
It's so refreshing.
Yeah, some places, though, are unbearably hot. Because I remember when I was in Italy, Lord, that was one of the hottest places I had ever been. And that was in 90-something before climate change. Italy was hot.
How is Portugal? I see Janet Jackson is there, and she's loving it. She's wearing, like, jackets and stuff.
Portugal was hot when I went.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe they're fortunate.
I thought it was hot.
Yeah, it was hot when I went. I went to Portugal, Spain, and Morocco, and all of them were hot.
So you're not recommending, huh?
Oh, I was just going to say Portugal was a nice place to visit.
I know Janet Jackson posted, like the building, and she loved the little shops and all of that today on Instagram.
Mm-hmm. And people
and I thought about you. You visited Portugal.
Yeah, and from what I recall, the people there were very friendly, very friendly.
That's what I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think that's what she loved about it, too. The people are so beautiful.
And shout out to Portugal, because in my opinion, they have the best wine in the world.
Look. Oh, my God. And you read my mind, because that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, after this bath and then we're on air, I wish I had some wine. They had the best wine, Cousin Linda. Did you bring any back?
In my opinion, Portuguese wine is the best wine in the world. A lot of people think, when they think of wine, they think of France or California.
Right.
Portugal. Now, why their wine is hard to find in Dallas, I don't know. I have to go to certain places to get Portuguese wine, but that is the best wine in the world to me.
Wow.
And I know,
what was your favorite dish with the
wine?
I
like their lobster. They had a dish called pork and clams that our tour director recommended. I wasn't too gone on the pork and clams. But I like their seafood and their lobster. Oh, God, it was so good. And their fish, they had fresh fish that was very good. They grilled it and served it with, like, cold asparagus. I remember one of my meals. I just like Portugal. It was very different. And they had a coach museum where they showed these coaches from back in, I guess, the 1600s.
Oh,
gold,
nice.
Elaborate. Yeah, everybody brags about the British Royal Family's coaches. The coaches,
I love coaches.
I do too, and I didn't take any pictures, and I could just kick my rump for not taking pictures of those coaches because they were just so elaborate and unusual. But back on Portuguese wine. I was in Paris asking for, do y'all have something like a port? I know they probably wanted to hit me. It's like, bad name. You are in France. No, we do not have Portuguese wine. So I had to ask for Burgundy or something else. Whatever France is known for. I just gave up on trying to get good wine in Paris. And, I drink whatever, because I told some French people, I'm like, I love your country, I love your city and everything, but I hate y'all's wine, and I ain't too fond of cheese. Mm-hmm. I don't like French cheese either.
Oh.
And they let me know they didn't like American cheese. I said, I can't blame you. I don't like American cheese either. I think.
And you're like, well, you're not alone. You don't like it too.
No, because it doesn't have any flavor, no taste to it.
Right. That's true. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. Our cheese definitely does not have any flavor. And one of my tour guides in Paris was saying she had stayed over in the United States. I think she came over here for, like, job training or whatever as an au pair. It said the family that she was living with had some bad kids, and they wouldn't make them obey. And I said, what did you think of our cheese? And she said, that big brick of yellow, whatever. She did not like our cheese. I said, I can't blame
right.
you.
And then we're told not to eat too much cheese, American cheese, but if you want to get any flavor, you have to load up on it.
Yeah, you do. And I remember back in the day when Kraft and Borden, you could just taste the cheese, the sharpness of it. Now it's just like eating nothing. There's no flavor.
Right.
Pepper Jack is about the only cheese that has some kind of flavor to it.
Right. That's true. That's a real popular one, too. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Real Simple has an article from earlier this year about foolproof hacks for packing your suitcase efficiently every time. And this is written by Teresa O'Rourke with Real Simple. And she go on to say that even with the best luggage, why does packing always seem like more of a chore than it needs to be? Back to what you were saying. It can be a tedious task on its own, sure, but a lot of packing stress like it stems from the anxiety of not really knowing what you are going to need when you get to wherever you're going. What if it rains the whole time? What if your luggage gets lost? What if you don't end up doing half of what your itinerary originally said you'd be doing? Right. We put a lot of pressure on ourselves to somehow miraculously pack only exactly what we might need. No more, no less, and keep things wrinkle-free in the process, what you stress. Here are some helpful packing techniques to ease the burden of filling your suitcase or travel bag, like you said. It might be best to have a travel bag or a backpack efficiently and keeping your clothing in tip-top shape while en route. The best way to pack your clothes, think big, then edit. She recommends that gather all the garments. Well, she talked to experts. Gather all the garments you anticipate needing, then put half of them back. Select clothes in the same color family. You mentioned that you do that often, where you can mix and match. Pack in more tops than bottoms, but five-day trip, I do that too. But five-day trip, you likely need five shirts, two pair of slacks or jeans, like you said, Michael, travel, one skirt. Says Kathleen Amiche, author of The Woman Road Warrior. Can get her book at Amazon. If going to cooler climates, which you like, save your buckier outerwear, like a puffer jacket, a puffer coat to travel in. The standard regulation carry-on luggage fits roughly two pairs of jeans, three sweaters, two dresses, and five shirts. That sounds like you and Michael Payne traveling.
Right.
Pack wrinkle-resistant fabric, what you and I both mentioned about wrinkling. If you can, choose knit, wools, and cottons because these fabrics tend to resist wrinkles and be versatile. Some garments can do double duty, like yoga pants that moonlight as pajamas.
Yeah.
Yep. And fold items. Using a bit of each packing technique is the most efficient way to get things into your suitcase. Roll softer garments and fold stiffer ones. Underwear, which you mentioned, load up on them. T-shirts, jeans, cotton pants, and knitwear won't wrinkle when rolled tightly, says Judy Guilford, author of the packing book at Amazon for $10. These books are inexpensive. stiffer fabrics such as starch cotton shirts, blazers, which you mentioned, dressier stuff, dressy pants and skirts to be carefully folded. Arrange clothing thoughtfully. Place your softer rolled items at the bottom of your suitcase first. Next comes your folded garment. For your middle layer, start with the longest items like skirts and nice pants. Stick the garments on top of each other, alternate waist with hem. Lay them the length of your suitcase, drape in leftover fabric over the opposite end. This conserves space since thick waistbands won't be piled on top of one another. Yeah, so that's crazy when you get in that situation. Wrapping the draping ends of the pile into the center. Next, lay collars of shorter items like skirts at the hinge with the ends over the handles. Fold the collars and ends over once and fold the arms in. Finally, snake belts around the perimeter of the bag so they take up as little room as possible. Okay, snake the belt. Okay, and add another layer of snugness around these three layers. Cover the pile with a dry cleaning bag. And I'm sure you do that. Because of the dry cleaning bag slippery surface, folded clothes stay in one place long enough for creases to set. Easy upgrade. Place the bag between each layer of clothing to get to a certain layer easily. Simply pull the ends of the bag up on either side. Place your clothes you need first at the top. Yeah, I hope we all do that. This cause it's crazy when you have to dig to find something and mess up your other clothes. Place clothes you need first at the top. This could be anything from a dress to a bathing suit to pajamas, depending on where you're going, what time you arrive, and what plan is when you get there. What's the plan? How to pack shoes. Yeah, how do you pack your shoes? I don't think you don't take many shoes, right?
Yeah, sometimes, because I have to have some comfortable shoes, and I will take one pair of nice shoes and some sneakers. I guess three or four pairs. I like clogs,
right?
Because clogs are very comfortable.
Yeah, I know you mentioned you like to travel with the clogs when you're at the airport, so you don't have to worry about that when you're at TSA.
Yeah. Oh, and something else I pack, and that's little plastic grocery bags to put underwear that I've worn in there.
Right.
Because, you know, you don't want them to be on your clean clothes if you haven't worn them and you come back home. And
grocery bags are so good for so many things. Right.
Yeah, and I always pack a bar of Dove soap or whatever your favorite soap is, even though most hotels, like I said, they've gotten chintzy on the amenities.
I like Dove, too, and Caress.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I always pack a bar of Dove soap.
Uh-huh. So how to pack shoes. Follow the rule of three. So you did say three or four. Consider one, because I like a variety, too. Casual dressing, whatever the weather is, slippers. Consider one casual sandal or loafer, sneakers, and an evening shoe to be your holy trinity, because the shapes and heels, shoes take up the most room. Says Mary Beth Bond, author of the 50 Best Girlfriends Getaways. Oh, we need to get that book. The Girlfriend Getaways, $16 at Amazon. Wear the heaviest, bulkiest pair and pack the other two. Sound like that's you. Because I know those clothes got to be the bulkier ones, but they're the more comfortable ones, the ones you don't have trouble taking off.
Right.
Have your shoes do some work. Depending on how clean your shoes are, stuff them with other items like socks, sunglasses, and electronic chargers. Says Anita Dunham Potter, a cruise columnist for MSNBC.com. This would end up saving you a bit room here and there.
I make sure my charger is in my purse.
Right.
I don't even put it in my duffel. Mm-hmm. That's something that I want easy access
and
to.
And make sure it's easy to find in your purse, because I can lose mine even in my purse. Like, oh, my God,
well,
got to dig for it. So you need to keep it where you can reach it.
Yes. I'll put it in like a little plastic sandwich bag and put it in my purse so I have quick access.
Right. Place shoes into 1 gallon size refillable bags and grocery bags, like just like the underwear, they're good too. then set them along the sides of the bag, says Guilford. This will keep dirt and germs from your shoes from getting onto your pet clean clothes. How to pack toiletries and beauty products. Opt for travel size multitaskers. Choose a tinted moisturizer that serves as foundation, soap, and shampoo in one. Right, I used to pack like a cosmetic canner back in the day. That was before all of this. Right, and shampoo in one and wipes that clean hands and face. If you're flying with a carry-on bag, check current regulations for liquids at TSA.gov. So it's important to check TSA.gov too. Group similar products in sealed refillable bags. Designate one bag for cosmetics, one for your hair products, and one for skin-related items. That's important to know some people, but, you know. Tuck the bag. You think it's obvious, but some people, you know, you need to know. Tuck the bags on the side corners of your suitcase or in zippered outside pocket. Oh, that's a good point, too, on the outside pocket. Because sometimes, you're right, we don't know a delay. And then you might need those toiletries. And like, oh, my God, I packed them in the bag. You can't access them easy. And they should be on your carry-on. How to pack jewelry. And this goes to what you often talk about, too, wearing all that expensive jewelry. So inexpensive pieces in 7-day plastic pill boxes. Or store them in a 35-millimeter thin container lined with tissue. If you must take precious gems, wear them during your travels to reduce the risk of loss or theft, suggests Guilford. Thinking of you and your fur coat in Canada. Did you have on gold, too, Cousin London? Have to pack fragile objects are breakable. Look, that was unbelievable. They put the dogs out. Use clothing as padding. Wrap fragile items in thick, sturdy clothing. Place them in the center of your bag surrounded by a buffer, says Laura McHolm, co-founder of the North Star Movement, a Los Angeles-based company that relocates 5,000 people and their precious porcelain each year. If you're carting liquor bottles, you were just talking about wine and stuff, secure them in the bottom center of your bag. If you have beach towels, this would be a good place to use them. Here's the dirty laundry. How to pack dirty laundry. Shrink it. Jessica Ellis, a graphic designer who travels between New York City and Chicago every other week, piles clothing into Eagle Creek packing bags and cubes. Now, I have to check out Eagle Creek packing bags and cubes. Zipper them, and they take out 80% of the volume. I think I've heard of that company. Warning, this can have wrinkly consequences, so if the clothes don't yet require laundering, lay them flat and place fabric softener sheets between them. Consider your fresh-smelling clothes a welcome home present. So that's it for that article, and it was very informative, and I like their book suggestions at Amazon. I do my best to share this article also on social media, and it's from Real Simple back in March. So what did you think about that, those suggestions? It sounds like you. A lot of it sounds like what you suggested when I asked you the question about luggage and packing.
I think you've covered it all.
But I want to go into, like, some of the brands that you recommended. But look, Cousin Linda, you said don't even worry about luggage. Do the carry-on and backpacks.
Brand luggage. I used to like, what is it? Something started with an S. I can't remember. Samsonite and American Tourister. And I preferred Samsonite to American Tourister. Remember the American
Those are the two that stood out in my head. Which one was the monkey throwing it around?
That's what I was about to ask you. Do you remember American Tourister where they had the gorilla jumping up and down and stomping?
Right,
on the
luggage? I loved it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
right.
Mhm. But I used to order quite a bit from, and I've forgotten the name of the catalog, Magellan.
And we have one more minute.
Okay. Well, it's a travel company called, and they mostly are mail order, called Magellan. They have everything that you need, like toilet liners, urinal things for ladies, little water bottles, all stuff. Everything you need for travel, go to Magellan.com.
So that's good.
Mhm. I used to order a lot of stuff from them before I traveled. I even have a suitcase that I ordered.
Okay, we just ended. We have less than a minute, and it ended. Yes. Because we get the hour, and then we get the extra 15 minutes, and I do it like that, so it'll be right before the news. Right before the news comes on. Right.
Mm-hmm. Changing the subject, I was going to ask you something. When we call in to the prayer line, can Pastor Friday see who's calling? Like, you can tell where your caller is.
I think so.
Okay.
I think so.
Because he'd be talking to them folks, talking about that. I hear that dog in the background and the witches on the line.
He tickled me about those witches when I studying. He said, I know the name because he do know names. Because, I even get names, so I know he get all kind of stuff. He said, I know your name. He said, I don't want to put you on the spot and call your name out.
That's what I was wondering. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to get on here and say the wrong thing, and he know who I am.
And when he said I hear dogs, and I'm saying to myself, now my phone on mute. I'm saying to myself, well, it ain't me. Look, because my dogs be praying. My dogs be praying because they love to pray, just like the baby do. And they get to barking when they hear us. And I heard him saying, I hear the dogs, and I'm saying to myself, well, it ain't me.
Well, I was because
I looked down, and my phone was on mute, but he said, I hear dogs. And then you just have a conversation. So,
I said, yeah, that's cousin Bethany in Salt Bay.
It wasn't me, and I'm saying to myself, that's not me, and because I'm thinking other people thinking that's her too. It's not me this time, it's somebody else. Look, I'm the only one talking about dogs, and I'm like, I know there's a lot of other dog owners on this line. Let this man pray for your animal. Sylvester had constipation the past couple of weeks, and I'm like, private pray for him, and it sure helped. He's like, is he drinking enough water? I'm like, I give him water. I said, but he don't, and he rather have like milk and other little stuff. I'm like, I give him water, and he prayed, and Sylvester started drinking milk, and then his bowels passed. I mean, started drinking water, and his bowels. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So people better ask for prayer for their pet children.
Yeah, but used to be praying for Henri, because my mom.
Right, I know we all used to be praying for Henri. People better stop. I don't know what people are thinking. They have God praising them too. They have spirits.
Amen. Because I know my mama would be on the bus with her bus riding friends and asking them to pray for her grandson Henri.
Right.
Yeah. Mhm. And animals are they are members of the family. They really are.
Right.
Mhm.
Right. Well, some people might say, I'm not asking for And if you love their family, you better ask for prayer. And like some people say, well, I'd rather send you a seed or a donation or a profit because you kept me from going to the doctor, paying the doctor, you know? So the same with the pets. Same with the pets. Those vets can cost a lot, and then you don't have the money. I don't have the money to go to the vet. And if I did have the money, then you don't know what they're going to do, what kind of medicine they're going to put in them. When the God can heal them, let God heal them.
Right. And I was watching something on TV where they were talking about the price of pet insurance, and I didn't know it was expensive. And they were saying a lot of times that insurance doesn't cover a lot of what you're taking the animal to the vet for. You know, it's rip-off.
That's what I see, too. I don't know if it was on Good Morning America, like, the other day. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, so
even
I'm
the expert that they were talking to, he was like, my cat had got in a fight. And he was like, I did telehealth. He said, and they told me what to do. And he said, I just followed their instructions.
Mm-hmm. But something else I was going to talk to you about. Now, I have friends, you know, I be telling you about my friends with their ailments. Why do you think they don't call into the prayer line? They'll ask me to pray or call the prayer line, but they don't call in. And I'm like, you don't have to give your name. You don't have to be specific. If you think somebody going to recognize your voice or your ailment, there's a lot of people that call in and say, Pastor, pray for me, and hang up. They don't get no more specific, and I'm like, you don't have to go. But they just will not.
Right,
because
I've been waiting for your friend with the Ellis's.
Oh, uh-huh.
She got a big cure.
She sent me a text message, must have been yesterday, I guess, because she was saying that she was at dialysis, dreading it or stressed or something like that. I think she was saying, you know, stress. And I said, well, why don't you call the line? I didn't get no response. And so I thought about you. I said, Bethany, it was so sweet. Because she said, well, we'll just keep praying for them. Yeah, we can pray for folks, but they need to pray for themselves, too.
Right.
And then you got
because I've been waiting to hear you. I've been waiting for you to ask for prayer for her, but I see you trying to get her to have her own faith and do it herself.
Yeah, because I asked one time, and I'm like now, and I pray for her, you need to do some praying for yourself. And I was like, the pastor ain't going to ask you no questions. I said, he might ask you, are you saved? Or Missionary Boland might ask, you know, have you repented? I said, you can say yes or no. Or I said, to give you an opportunity to repent. And you just say that silently. Okay, I repented. But I don't know.
I have asked for prayer for our living aunt and uncle. I have asked for prayer for Aunt Mildred, Uncle Mutt, and Uncle Herman, and I don't call their names. I say pray for my mother's living siblings, you know, and he'll pray for them. And Uncle Herman, I think he called Uncle Herman and prayed with Uncle Herman, but Uncle Herman had told me, don't call my name, though. He said, people be on the prayer line. Don't say my name. I said, I don't say your name. You know, but then I think Prophet have called him and prayed with him before. But, you know, you don't have to say a name because I just said pray for our uncles and aunts. And he don't need no names. He just prayed.
Well, I just don't get like Betty Jo when we were at lunch Saturday. She was talking, she's already had knee replacement surgery one time.
Ooh,
and
yeah.
So. Yeah, her other knee needs
to
be replaced.
I be hollering about my legs and knees. She better call. Good knee replacement.
Yeah, she was talking about how she has to go get these shots, you know, on her knees every 6 months. And girl, you better call the prayer line. She said, no, she was just going to go ahead and have the surgery. I said, okay. It seemed to me.
And so what she saying?
I just said it seemed to me that prayer would be a much better alternative because that knee surgery ain't nothing to play with.
Right. Miss Ann, you probably remember her, Ann Ficklin. She used to go with Lord's brother, our uncle. What's our uncle's name? Uncle Mitchell, cousin Mitchell. She lived down the street, and I was wondering why her SUV was always parked for the past year. And I finally dropped by there about 2 months ago, and you might have been on the call because I think it was since you've been on the call. And she was like, I had back surgery, and I fell and hurt my knee, and I hadn't been driving my car. And then within a month, that woman started back driving her car. And I need to tell Prophet that because I came in, and I said I was just at my neighbor's house, and I was wondering why she'd been a shut-in. And she told me she had back surgery, and she had just fallen on her knee, and her daughter had cancer. Her daughter, you're younger than me. And she said they were healing. And that woman hadn't been in her car, and now she drives her car. So it's something about those prayers. It's something about those prayers. And I feel like a new person.
Yeah, I had for the lady with the stomach issue, and I know everybody else has been praying for, and you heard her call in and say how much better she felt, and she ain't having them issues no more, not with her stomach. Because it sounds like she
and
had
And see, I'm one of those people, like you say, don't be saying a list. That's what happened to me. I ain't give them a list that Friday morning. And you was on the call, I think. I said, Prophet, I don't have no list. Just pray for me. And then that's when he was like, he prayed for my stomach. And I didn't even know I was sick in my stomach. I thought I was, because of London, I know I hadn't been eating stuff that should have me looking fat. But I'm thinking it's obesity and has something to do with thyroids or anything. You know, I'm like, I had gotten slimmer after the holidays when I had gotten sick. But then I'm wondering, why is my stomach so bloated? Why am I looking like this? And then he was like, something's going on with your stomach. And I just said, pray for me. And that's all your friends have to say. Pray for me. Mm-hmm. And God shows him where your problem is. So, because you're right. Sometimes we ask him what to pray for. And I'm thinking, if God's telling him what to pray for, maybe we need to start being quiet and let God show him what really needs to be prayed for. Because I said, just pray for me, and he saw my stomach. And as he was praying, I put anointing oil on my navel and rubbing it on my stomach. My stomach started going down while he was praying, and that's why before we hung up, he said, anybody got a testimony? I said, Prophet, my stomach's going down as you talking. And I'm like, I'll send you pictures of before and after. I'm looking slim, Cousin Linda, on the Salt Bae diet, and from him praying. I thought I was just looking like Mrs. Humpty Dumpty because I couldn't get rid of obesity. But yeah. So your friends need to call in. And you don't have to tell him anything, because he'll say, I don't know anything about you. Don't you hear him say that? He's like, I don't know you. He said, but God will tell him what to pray for.
Ain't nobody going to be recognizing their voices, because they don't nobody know them from Adam. But But it was one lady, I think I told you about my former hairdresser, Clarence, had this customer who had a kidney transplant. And I don't know if the kidney was getting old or whatever, but she was having issues. And I said, well, my mother and I will pray for you. And she insulted me. She was like, she didn't seek prayer from other people because she didn't know they might be praying that something bad happened to her. And I said, well, we definitely would not pray anything like that. I said, and God doesn't answer that kind of prayer anyway.
Exactly. That's the devil right there. That's the devil and his children. That's their department. That's why my stomach was swollen, because somebody put rich forever on me. And that cancer, too. Yeah, your friend got the dialysis. Cousin Lynn, I'm so glad he saw those lumps and cancer in my body. I know it was cancer. So, because if I had gone to Dr. Quinn and he said, we need to run tests, and they had come back and told me I had cancer, now I know when I go to Dr. Quinn, they're not going to come back with anything. But if I'm so glad I had put off going to the doctor, because now I'm going to be good to go when we're ready to travel. We're like a whole new person. I need to get some dental work done now. I'm ready. And we get our money. We get our money. We good to go. But I didn't even know about your bag. What did you say? You hadn't taken ibuprofen in 3 weeks? I didn't know about that.
Girl, I'd be waking up stiff in the morning, and I'm like, okay, once I get to moving around, then I know I won't be as stiff. But like you, when you were saying how your shoulders get stiff when you be trying to roll your head. Well, I would have that because I flat mine because I'm still wearing wigs. And so sometimes when I'm shampooing it and flattening it and stuff, my shoulders don't want to act right. But
see,
a lot of times
last
I'm like,
week, when I relaxed it, I blow dried it and left it flat.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will be waking up stiff in the morning. A lot of it, I think, comes from these horrible pillows that I'm sleeping on. But I was, I'm like, and I'm actually hurting. Let me take some ibuprofen or let me take some aspirin or something. And when I wake up in the morning, I have been feeling stiff, but I'm like, I'm going to get stiff later on. And I'll just forget about it. I'm like, I ain't stiff. I can move. I'm not hurting. I ain't got to take no painkillers.
Mm-hmm. Right. I was able to roll my hair, and then I was praying, dear God, guide me. I still rolled up. I'll take it down tomorrow, but I'm praying. Like, I hope it looks, it's halfway good. When on Christmas, roller set our hair. And then I rolled my hair, and then I had to sit on the dryer like 2 hours. And then my back didn't hurt. And that's why I'm like, let me share this testimony. It might not be nothing to some people, but that's a big deal.
I was saying myself, big deal to me, because I know sometimes just trying to reach up in my medicine cabinet or something, you know, I'll be still. I've been feeling pretty good here lately. Okay.
Right.
So what's his own? David Muir is on, so we got to go.
I'm watching it, too. And look, he's talking about some storms, and how's the weather over there? Because I hear thunder, and it's looking cloudy outside. I didn't know anything about this.
It's bone dry and the sun is shining brightly.
Mm-hmm. It's been like that all day, but when we started the show, I can hear thunder.
Well, is the show at 4:00 tomorrow?
Yes, that's our Friday show, Foodie and Fun Friday. And let's share recipes. Okay. I hope you share that potato salad recipe again.
Okay, I will. Okay, just remind me. Okay, well,
I hope I find your wafer, what was it, the vanilla wafer cake. I found every recipe but it. I found the apple cake. I don't know if you see my text message. I found the apple cake recipe.
I'll just go to YouTube and see if I can find a vanilla cake recipe. But anyway,
I'm sure it's in there. I found that good squash. Remember that squash casserole? I'm like, I need to practice on that because I love that squash casserole.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I will talk to you tomorrow because.
Oh, well, okay. We probably talk on Facebook or text message each other. Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Okay, love you. There's our David Moore. Okay. Love you.